bad knees and all. Knock them down.
Okay. You know, the Smalleys are hard to follow. They're good. They're funny, talented, and gifted. So I give away stuff to try to get y'all on my side. So where's that couple been married 3 weeks? Hubba hubba. Coming here to the FCA thing? Pass that back there to him. It's called Living and Living Well. Yeah, hubba hubba. That's a good, my wife likes that one. Here's one, 8-track guy in an iPod world. Y'all are sort of my people. I appreciate you. We were married May 19th, 33 years, 1979. You know, my wife, Laurie, you know, I love her and everything. I don't know, you know, and she loves my body. You know, it gets so old. You know what I'm saying? I got a brain. I got a heart. See, some of you guys, and probably even some of you gals, you know what you're thinking all this is right now? Foreplay. There's some of my, she is having a hot flash earlier. And my wife is in the hot flash right now. Oh, my gosh. It's like we're in a wind tunnel or something. Got fans blowing. Cold. And all she'll be laying there and just all of a sudden, whoa! Yes. I go, you know, I thought, hey, she wants me to make a move, you know? Yeah. You know. That blue pill takes 40 minutes. But I'm just sort of hoping. See, I got her tickled there. Here, you can have that right there. Hope Dr. Graham isn't watching that part. I tell you, every time I come here, I love Billy Graham. I mean, he's just been my hero forever and ever. I love Billy Graham, always have and always will. And when he was younger, that was more his voice right there. But now he's 93, so he's a little older and a little weaker, but he still preaches and is just awesome. I just love Billy Graham. I was here, right here, 12 years ago, and I remember I was going to entertain him and his staff and family, you know. And they called and said, would you come up here and entertain us? And I said, well, let me pray about it. Yes. So I just started, you know. You got to be able to pray. I had an open heart. I felt value and nourishment. So I came, you know what I mean? And I got up here. Well, I didn't know if he'd be here or not, Dr. Graham, you know. But he came to it, you know, and I just, and we sat next to each other to eat supper, and he was right here, and I was right here. And I remember we ate ribs, and I mean, he was, and corn on the cob, and he was eating it just like we were here. And I just, he's eating corn on the cob, you know. And, you know, just little things. But, and then I said, Dr. Graham, I hope you don't mind me imitating you here in front of everyone and everybody. And he leaned over and said, you could take over. Well, when you're ADD, you know, you take things literally. Don't we, Greg? I mean, your brother especially. I thought, I'm taking over. Taking over. And then I realized I wasn't, but... But at that moment, I remember even thinking, well, I guess I'll have to give Franklin a job, you know, just have to put them all on board somewhere. But I didn't say that out loud, but I love Dr. Graham. I enjoy coming up here and helping folks laugh, you know, and you coaches. My oldest son, Chad, he is smart like his mama. I mean, he's got... accounting degree from Mississippi College, Choctaw. We live in Louisiana. People all the time, why didn't he go to school in Louisiana? Well, Louisiana requested that he leave the state. And Mississippi will take anybody. You know what I'm saying? I'm just sharing my heart. And so He went over there to be with the Choctaws. And he is smart and made accounting, boy of the year or whatever it was. I don't know. I think his mama's got the little booklet. But, I'm a pastor. I can figure out a tithe. What else is there, you know? So, then he got an MBA. An MBA, University of Louisiana at Monroe, because we live in Monroe, say. But the whole time he was doing that, he was coaching football. Oh, has to coach that football. You know, I'm going, good night, son. I said, coaches don't make that much money, son. They don't make a lot of money. He said, they don't care about the money. You know how they sort of mumble? I know y'all have grown out of that a lot, you know, but, I mean, early on, I don't care, I'm making a little money. You know. And it doesn't hurt mumbling really in coaching when you holler, I told you, get up, get it. Get him and get your crotch and come in on. I went over last night to watch him do 7-on-7. Do y'all do that? You know, they play 7-on-7, you know. We never did that when I played ball. We didn't have to. We were good enough to just wait till the fall. I wore my ring tonight on purpose. I went to Reagan High School. We were state champs, national champions, 67, 68, and 70. Put the whoop on Odessa Permian twice, Friday Night Lights. Right here. Yeah, I used to have a little six-pack and all that, but now I got two kegs right here. Just, I wear my shirt out, but it still sort of has that little punch there. But see, now, Ken's lost that weight and everything. Look at his wife. She's going, ooh, just sort of. He lost so much weight there for a while, she probably thought she was committing adultery or something over there with that old boy. How many pounds did you lose, Ken? 50 pounds, Lord. That's a biblical number, year of Jubilee. All the captives set free, debts canceled. Then you still had to get back and go to work, though, didn't you? But my Chad coaching. So he's still coaching. I said, son, you ain't going to make a lot of money. You could go with that accounting MBA, go make some bucks. Oh, football, dude. Oh, I can enjoy. I mean, he's a Baptist, you know, and we put him in OCS. We live in Monroe, Washita Christian. It's a Church of Christ school. Had him there from, you know, all the way early on. I mean, he can sing a cappella, I will say that. They don't have instruments in the church, man. Unless you're Max Lucado and they may slip it in, I don't know. But he's athletic director, head football coach at a Catholic school. So he's gone from, you know, Baptist to a cappella to trying to throw a Hail Mary. You know what I mean? And he's trying to learn how to genuflect, you know, just however that, you know, I just started do it. I tried to do it like Pudge Rodriguez used to do playing catch. You know, when he'd get up to bat, he'd go, just do it quick. You know, but anyhow, not to offend anybody, but anyhow, he's coaching, you know. And I told him, I said, son, I'm going to tell you something. You know, I don't make a lot of money. I don't care about the money. I said, well, one day your mama's going to die. When your mama dies, there ain't no more money. So he married a physical therapist, and he's happy, happy, happy. You know, she just. But he loves that coach. And I go out. I watched him last night. It was great, you know. And, you know, he's, you know, gets to be with them boys all the time. They just love it. And, you know, so I love it deep down, too. I try to sit up there and act like I know what's going on. And, you know, but everything I did back then is not working now. Like, I told him, I said, son, I'm going to tell you something. You might want to do this summer. When I played ball, if the coach saw us running, if we weren't pulling a tire behind us, we were in trouble. He said, Dad, we don't do that anymore. I went, why not? Not tough enough. Makes you slow. We work on quickness. I've seen them do this little drill. They'll get in there and they'll do this. You ready? Are you ready for this? This is what they do. I said, what's that about? He said, Dad, you know, when you run, your legs go with your hand. So if your hands go faster, you run faster. I went, get out of here. But anyhow, I love my boys. Chad, he's my oldest. Then Dusty, he's my youngest. He's 27. And he's in ministry, you know. Like me, you know, won't start to do what I do. And he's a good boy, funny, and going to follow. I just pray that God will bring a woman into his life that will nurture and have an open heart and knows how to do a checkbook. You know, I'm just, you know, but we love, but on stage he's great, but off the stage he needs somebody in charge. And that's what I did. I got my little wife, Laurie. I love her. I mean, we call her the general. She's 4'11", about 109 pounds, good looking woman, bossy. Loves to be in control, you know, just. She's a brunette right now. About every 3 weeks, God does a miracle on her hair. Just sort of, I pay for it. And whatever color it is, when she comes back, well, what do you think? I went, oh, great, great, great. And liar, liar, pants on fire. But, yeah, I mean, what are you going to say? Oh, baby. Ooh. You know. And sometimes God's in a hurry and he just highlights it. You know. I ain't saying nothing right here. You know, I see several highlighted here. I know you were trying to get to the retreat. But, hey, your husband does not care if you nurture and validate. So just, you know, validate one another. But I love my little honey. And she's high maintenance. She's high maintenance, but she's worth every single penny. That's the Christian thing to say. So anyhow, I learned that from the Smalleys. I've known Greg when he was young. I've done stuff with his daddy and Norma. And what's funny is I'm so much like Gary and my wife so much like Norma. I mean, we get to sort of see what we're going to be like, and it's scary sometimes, you know. Norma likes to be in charge, you know. I mean, she's, you know, bossy and all the above. But I love my woman. I do. I mean, you ladies, I'm going to try to give them balance, you know. Y'all outlive us. Look at you. A lot of them are smiling already. They're... And y'all do. Y'all outlive us. 5.4 years is a statistic. My actuary buddies, and I don't know what they do, but they're in a cubicle. They say it's 8 to 10 years that, you know, women outlive us. I was at Branson and, you know, go there, entertain all the time. And I had doing the senior adult thing over there at old Mel Tillis's old theater. And I had about 2,500 of them. And I was picking on the women, saying, you're not the weaker vessel. We're to treat you as the weaker vessel, but you're not the weaker vessel. But we treat you as the weaker vessel. And we love you and y'all respect us, you know, sometime. And so I was picking on him. Well, when I finished, this man comes up, and you could tell he'd had both knees replaced. He's going, Brother Dennis, Brother Dennis. I remember when I was a pastor, I had an old boy that always going, Brother Dennis, Brother Dennis. You know, I hate to say it, but a couple of times I said, Lord, can't you take him home? But just, I mean, that is bad. Is that bad? I mean, I've asked forgiveness for it. A couple times. I did see him the other day at Walmart there, and he's coming down the aisle way down there. He's going, Brother Dennis. And I just hooked him into the lingerie at Walmart. And that ain't nothing like Victoria's Secret. So that means it didn't do nothing for me. But so... But anyhow, he came up and he said, Brother Dennis, Brother Dennis. I said, yes, sir. He said, I'll tell you why a man dies before a woman. I said, now why is that? We want to. I ain't going there tonight. I'll let Greg work on that. Work it in tomorrow if you need to. You know, and the time I have remaining, I want to just... you know, I was a pastor 22 years, so I can, you know, do the preaching every now and then, you know. I mean, when I do my thing, I mean, usually afterwards at churches, I'll have people come up to me, "I enjoyed your thing." I said, "Well, I don't call it preaching either, so just..." But I get paid good for it, so let it go. Let it go. Call it what you want. But anyhow, I really believe that just to sort of, that God loves real people. Jesus loves real people. And I just want to encourage you with your sugar babe, your honey love, your woman, with your man. You know, my grandma always called my grandpa her man. I love that. I told Laurie one time, I said, "Baby, just, you know, start, you know, sort of talking back and forth." I said, "You know, when you talk." And I said, "Baby, I just like it when you call me. Just call me your man." You know what she says? "Honey, when I do, you get a little too excited." I know. That's why I can't, okay? I mean, by the time she'll probably do it, I'll be in the third stage of the assisted care living center. I'll be laying there, just tubes up my nose, and she'll go, "How's my man?" I'll go, you know, that's too late then, ladies. But, you know, oh, I love my honey, but I really believe the Lord loves real people. And so I want to encourage you, be real, be yourself. And as you share with each other yourself, I mean, share who you are and what you feel and what you're thinking. And, you know, it is a journey. We've been married 33 years and it never stops. I'm telling you, it's all, you're in another journey. Where's you at, I tell you what. But you learn to just keep on trucking. But be real, you know. I think Jesus loved, like in the Bible, now I brought my Bible. Because there's always some sweet lady out there going, "Well, did he even bring a Bible?" Right here. I know how some of y'all think. Listen, I'm not Beth Moore. Put your pencil down. But I'm going to share a few little things with you here that I think will sort of help you about being real. And I think we can learn something from old Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. I mean, they were siblings, you know, and lived on the same roof. Whoa. I mean, think, would you like to live with your siblings? I mean, you know, maybe down the street, but... Ugh. I mean, I love my two sisters. I have an older sister, Sherry Darlene, and my little sister, Terry Lynn, and I love them. But I just, you know. And I'm sure they feel the same way about me, even though I'm pretty normal. You know, but they lived together. And somehow got along. You know, we can get along when there's that mutual respect and when there's that love. And I'll say this, you know, they loved each other. They loved their brother. He was sick. Remember when he's sick? And apparently he loved them. You know, he just kept his mouth shut. You don't have a word in the Bible from Lazarus. We don't have one word. Couldn't get a word in edgewise. But apparently they got along, and they were different. They were so different. And we are so different. I think it's appropriate to say baggage. We bring baggage in. I mean, baggage is baggage. Some of it's new. I told my son Chad, he and his Lindsay, they've been married about 16 months, and still no baby, so, you know. 4 years back there. Come on, let's go. But, skip a session. I'm trying to help you. I mean, I'm afraid by the time I get a grandbaby, I'll be in the third stage again of the assisted care living. They'll bring the baby and, "Hey, Dad, here's your grandbaby." I'll go, Only thing me and the baby will have in common is we both wear pull-ups, you know. But I told him, I said, "Let me tell you something. You know, I travel all the time. I do about 150 events a year. I go, because my wife loves shoes. And even those little, you know, like what you got, them little flippy-flop things you got on there? We used to call them thongs. They don't wear them down there anymore. The one she buys cost money. Oh, Lord of mercy. But she just a spender. But, oh, yeah. So I travel all the time, so I know about baggage and stuff, you know. And I'm a more of a Delta man, so I can take three because I'm Diamond, you know. I'm Tupperware, brass, and everything. I fly all the time, so I get three bags, you know, free. Up to 70 pounds a bag. So I told them when they were getting married, I said, listen, you can get two bags free, but you pay for all the others. So we do have baggage that we all bring in, but you're going to have to pay for it. You got to allocate, you know, it's going to cost and has to fit a certain size and all that stuff. But so anyhow, you know, you got to get along. You got to sort of work with each other. And you know, when you were asking what to say, you know, one thing Laurie always tells me all the time, you know what she says? I'm not you. And I went, believe me, you're not, you know. And I thought, I'm not you. I'm not you. I know. I said, well, can't Paul said, I become all things to all men that I might win some. Don't preach to me. You got a problem with the Bible. But anyhow, But the thing is, I got to let Laurie be Laurie, and she's got to let me be me, but we've got to find that commonality. Well, you know, I do see that in Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Somehow they're getting along, and they're very diverse. You've got Martha on the one hand. You know, Martha, she's in the kitchen. You know, okay, either get in here, help, or out. I mean, she's in charge. But she's a great lady. Matter of fact, the Bible says that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. But it's Martha first. He knew which side his bread was buttered on. Now, it's interesting when you read the story, John, from his, he starts off with Mary, the village of Mary and Mary and her perfume. He's sort of high on Mary. And so for John, it was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus came in third both times. But and that's okay. So you got Martha. You know, she's just organized and everything. My wife's a Martha. She's a Martha. I mean, when I'm at home, I said, baby, come on, sit down, baby. I love sitting. You know you're getting older. You know you're getting older when it feels so good to sit down, you know. And Gwen is a sweetheart and can sing and everything, you know. But, y'all, you know, at our church, when we have the praise stuff, they stand for 40 minutes. I'm going, can't we praise the Lord sitting down? I mean, just, tell you what I do. I stand for one song. Then I sit down. I just raise one hand. I just start to do a little. And they think I'm into it. I'm just, but that way I get to sit for 35. But Laurie, I'll say, baby, sit down, babe. We have a beautiful home. I mean, it's immaculate. Immaculate. Decorated. She brings over her little ladies, you know, Beth and this other lady. And they just has to match and everything. You can't just get a regular old couch from somewhere where they can deliver it tomorrow. We have to send off and have it made. Custom cloth that matches the rug. And, you know. Oh, but, I mean, that's all right because she's creative like God, Genesis. I try to think of that when you said that. But I said, baby, sit down. And you know, she goes, she'll stand there and go, you know, if I had more help, maybe I could sit down. I said, well, hire somebody. I'll pay for it. I mean, I have my hot button. She has her hot buttons, you know. My hot button is this. This is her daddy's 90 years old. He's in World War II, you know. And she said, my father never hired anyone to fix anything in our home. My father fixed everything. My father. So So I hit her hot button. I said, well, my mama cooked, you know, just right. And that's when the fight started. But so she's a little Martha. But you know what's good about a Martha? Man, you got to have a Martha. If you don't have a Martha in your church or Martha in your organization, you're in trouble. We got to have Martha. And the good thing to know is we've given Martha a bad rap for too long. Jesus loved Martha. He knew he needed Martha. And she wasn't an idiot either. She knew that he was the Messiah. She knew about the resurrection. She was sharp as a tack. But she was still Martha. I'm just so glad that God lets us be who we are. He just wants you to be your best you. He just wants you to be be the best man and husband you can be. He wants you to be the best wife you can be. He wants you to be you. You don't have to be somebody you're not. Just be your best you, you know. What's that? You know, you and God get it together. And all of a sudden, things will start working. Well, I like Martha. And then Mary. Don't you love Mary? She's the kind of church that I love praise songs. I love it. I love the PowerPoints. And I love it. I love it. The words. I love it when there's a waterfall behind the words. I told our music dude at our church, I said, he's a young guy, 22. He ain't even been to seminary. You know, they don't even bring him from the seminary anymore to do the music. Just hop him up off the stage. But he is good. And I told him, I said, listen, I don't mind the words up there, but when you put the waterfall on it, I'm ADD and I can't focus on both. I said, so I don't know if I'm focused on the words or focused on the waterfall. You know what the little 22-year-old fellow told me? I'm 58 years old. You know what he told me? He said, Brother Dennis, why don't you focus on the waterfall? I want to tell him I'm writing his check for his salary. I'm a giver. I thought about holding back my tithe. But, and then Mary's a great greeter at church. Welcome to our church. Oh, we love our church. It's wonderful. Welcome. Our pastor is so good, verse by verse. Love it. Welcome. And this new family says, well, where do we go for life groups? You know, they don't even call it Sunday school anymore, Wayne. It ain't no more Sunday school. It's life group or people groups or whatever it is. Sunday school. And they say to her, where do we go for life group? And she goes, I don't know. I don't go. I'm a greeter. But aren't they? I mean, they're different. And then Lazarus, he's quiet, never said a word. But Jesus loved going there. I think he loved it because he was with real people, transparent. You know, they weren't put on. They were genuine. And I think he loved old Lazarus. I think Lazarus might have been his best friend. That's what I think. Because Lazarus knew how to keep his mouth shut. You know what? A man loves a buddy that can keep his mouth shut. And he loved a man. Well, then, of course, Lazarus is sick, remember? And they wanted Jesus to come and heal him. Y'all know the story. And they said, you know, because they knew Jesus loved Lazarus. Matter of fact, the Bible says the disciples knew he loved him. And the Jews knew that he loved him. Real quick, here's a little quick nugget. People know who you love. They know. You know, some of y'all are young, you younger ones, y'all don't listen, but you watch. Y'all are good watchers. And you watch, and you know who your parents love, you know who your wife loves, who your husband loves. They know. People know who you love. And they knew that he loved Lazarus. Now, we know he loves all of us. But, you know, he really did love old Lazarus. That's the only place in the Bible you have anything like that about who Jesus loved. He loved old Lazarus. He was sick, and they thought surely he would come and heal him because he loved him. He was his best friend, maybe. And, you know, the story is he said, well, we're going to delay and come in, and this will be for the glory of God. And, you know, go, you know, John 11:12. And Read it tonight if you're not making the list. Okay? All right. So anyhow, you know, Jesus finally gets there, and he's been dead 4 days. And you remember what Martha said? This is paraphrased. Y'all have one of them Bibles? Paraphrase. She basically said, well, hope your little mission trip went well. Your best friend and our brother is dead as a doornail. You missed the visitation. You missed the funeral. He's been buried 4 days and he stinketh. I've been by 4 times and still stinketh. She was put out with Jesus. You know what? I'm glad we have a God that's a big God and can handle it when we're flustered and frustrated. He swallows hard, just like your mom and daddy did with you when you'd spout off. They knew that you didn't know what you're saying, and it'd take 22 years and 12 and 4 months before you'd get it. So they just look at you. And then when you finally walk out of the house, you know, your dad looks at your mom and goes, you want to go to Cracker Barrel? Because they know you ain't going to get it for 20 years. Well, God, if an earthly father gives good gifts, how much more so a heavenly father? I mean, but you know what? He loves it when you're on the journey, realizing who you are as you're becoming your best self. And he loved that interchange with Martha and Mary. Then remember, Martha went and got Mary, said, he's here, he wants to talk to you. We have no record of him wanting to talk to Mary. But she went and she doubling up on him, double teaming him. She said, Mary, you need to go out there, he wants to talk to you. That's a cheap shot. Mary goes out there, heaps more coals on Jesus' head. He's angry and hurt. And I think probably he's hurt because, you know, people were judging his motives and judging his heart, and they don't know his heart. Man looks on the outward appearance of a man, but God looks on the heart. And that always bugged me when I was a pastor, you know. Well, I don't think he cares. I think all he worries about is his golf game on Thursday. Well, you got that right there, I tell you what. But I care about people. And I remember it just irritate me. They don't know my heart. They don't know how I feel about somebody. But anyhow, and he wept. I think he wept because he lost a buddy. Man, if you ever lose a good buddy that keeps his mouth shut, you'll cry too. Well, so remember what he did? He raised him from the dead. I got to wrap this up because there's dessert down there. And I love it. I love Bluebell ice cream. I don't know if it's down there, but have y'all seen that commercial? You know, Sally Fields, you know, takes Boniva for bone density. Let me tell you what I do for my bone density. Bluebell ice cream is what I do. I'll go work on my bone density here in a minute. But, hey, I didn't take a Ritalin tonight, okay? But I'm wrapping this up. So Jesus, remember, raises him from the dead. Now, I have a big imagination, and I'm going to do some more in the morning, so I'll try to wrap it up. But I've often wondered if he was John Wayne-ish with a Hebrew accent. I mean, have you ever wondered what he sounded like? I mean, I think about stuff like that. And I wonder if he said, all right, Lazarus, come on out of there as best you can. I know they've been wrapped up and tied up and, yo, burning daylight, come on out of there. Or was he Billy Graham-ish and said, Lazarus, won't you come? We have no literature, but Mary and Martha will fill you in on all that you need to know. Won't you come? You know,
The stone's been rolled away. Come, you know.
I know some of y'all are wanting to put up your little lightning rod. You're just all nervous. Lighten up. Your spouse is a coach. He's done much worse. You know, just, you know, out there throwing his hat down, his headgear, acting like he thinks he's Steve Spurrier. You know, but so, or was he Jimmy Stewart like? Lazarus. And Lazarus alone. Rest of y'all stay in there. This story is just about one man, so come on out of here, Lazarus. Rest of y'all, it'll be later. You know. Well, it might be that way. We don't know. Oh, so that was a great miracle. Awesome. Lazarus, quite a guy, wasn't it? Never said a word, but they said, because of Lazarus, many people came to Jesus. What an epitaph. Wow. Well, here's the ending of it. You ready? Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to die. He's going to the cross. Of all the places he could go, where does he go? Bethany. And I'll tell you why I think he went there. To be with his best friends. Do you have some best friends? You need some best friends. And they don't always need to be other coaches. You need to have friends that are plumbers and roofers and school teachers and, you know, scientists. Throw in a couple of geeks. But real friends. You need some friends, close friends. It's okay for you to have close friends that are going to love you whether you win the game or you don't win the game. If you're fired or they give you a new contract, either way, they're there for you. And you're there for them. You need close friends. And so he went back there one more time to be with his close friends. Martha's in the kitchen. She's doing great. And then Mary, she's just pouring flu all over his feet. About a year's salary's worth. But little did she realize she was preparing him for his death, burial, and resurrection. And we do learn this from Mary. Worship is more important than work. You know? But you do need Martha. We got to work. I mean, y'all are going to have to go back after the little retreat and work. And some of you may, I know I'm missing 7-on-7 right now. I'm missing 7-on-7. You know, you have assistants. Delegate. So he's there, and the Bible said he's sitting at the table with Lazarus. Don't you wish you knew what they were talking about? I'll tell you what I think. I think Lazarus said something like this to him. Jesus said to Lazarus, Lazarus, pray for me. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. I'm going to die on a cross. Pray that I'll drink the cup. Pray that I'll do my Father's will. And old Lazarus might have said this, I'll do it. You've been a friend to me. And then he might have said this. You'll be all right. You raised me up in 4 days. I wouldn't be surprised if you ain't raised up in 3. Real people. I want to encourage you this weekend as you're working on being real friends with each other, partners. There's nobody that has your back like your spouse. Nobody. When the chips are down. As much as y'all fight and disagree, and my wife and I, we do. I mean, I love her and she loves me. And I just, there ain't nobody that's got your back like your spouse. There's nobody that has your back like your kids. But you need to have some friends that have your back. And you need to have the back of some, be the back of some friends. Maybe you'll meet some friends here this weekend. That'd be awesome. So have some best friends. You need them. Quit worrying what people say. When I was a pastor, they'd say, well, he goes down to Gulf Shores and stays in the Johnson's condo, so they're tight, you know. I want to tell the lady, well, do you have a cabin in Gatlinburg? And let me use it and we'll be tight, you know. And sometimes I want to tell people, get a life. So what I'm telling you there, let them talk a little bit. You need your friends. Jesus needed his. And you need yours. Just be real. Just be yourself. Just be your best self. God bless you. I'm through.